This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out. 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 Bring them out.
Bring them out. Woo! Oh, God. Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got Jay Moore, we got you for a 3-hour ride here on this Tuesday morning with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. That's where you can watch our show and all the shows here on ESPN Chicago. And we come in with some baseball angst, Cap and I. Both of our teams lose, and on top of that, Cap, you got a little taste of Chicago, what it's going to be like on the expressway coming into Chicago. You got a little taste of it this morning. Congratulations.
Yeah, I've had some listeners tweeting at me some different routes. Our boss, Danny Zetterman, he leaves after I do. Holy bleep. Mm-hmm. Folks, that construction's no joke. So make sure you find an alternate route. Maybe we get Danny and Keith to order up a helicopter for the morning.
How about like a Cap Skyway? Just a nice route from where you're coming from, over the top of everyone else, boom, right into downtown. Your own ramp.
That'd be great.
I think that's what you need, like the Jetsons.
That's it. I just need a George Jetson car.
Yes. And by the way, Elon Musk, thank you so much. Everything that you've done for Twitter, everything that you've done for Tesla, where is my flying car for Cap? That's what we were. We were promised the flying car. Where's the flying car so my guy can be able to fly into the sky, no problem, right into State Lake, bam, right into the garage, right?
Correct.
Where is it?
And I woke up surly about my baseball team.
Yes.
I watched both games yesterday. I watched the national championship. We'll get to all of it. David Ross had a really bad night. I like David. I do. He had a really bad night. Sunday, you take Jameson Taillon out after 63 pitches. And they're in the ballgame. It's 3-2. Nope, he didn't have his best stuff. We're going to go to the bullpen. Four innings. See you later. Last night, Shea had better stuff than Drew Smyly from pitch one.
Mm-hmm.
He was terrible. No command, no velocity. He's just getting battered around. Oh, Cubs come back. First of all, they were up 3-0. Blow the lead. 3-3 after an inning. Good for those of us that had the over. And it's 6-4 Cubs. Two outs, two on. I'm like, would you please take him out? Can we go to Keegan Thompson? He's warm. Well, there's a lefty up. You probably don't want. I don't care if he throws between his legs with his third member. I don't care. He's better than what was on the mound. Bam! Three-run home run, Cubs lose. On top of it, and I like Boog and JD very much.
Sure.
But I'm going to critique what I hear. First and second, nobody out in the seventh, down a run. Wisdom up. You're asking him to bunt. Okay. You need to get the tying run over.
Mm-hmm.
He hit two home runs the day before.
Yes.
Might want to let him swing away. But, okay, you're going to bunt. He can't get a bunt down. Pops it back to the pitcher. And I hear JD go, well, it's tough. He's not a guy that bunts all the time. You're a GD Major League Baseball player. If you cannot be asked to put a bunt down, and you're not Albert Pujols, this isn't Mike Trout here. It's Patrick Wisdom. If you can't get a bunt down, that's embarrassing enough. You got Nick Madrigal doing nothing, sitting on the bench. You got a staff of 13 pitchers sitting there doing nothing. Tell me that pitchers don't learn to bunt? Yes, they do, because they can't hit anymore. either put a bunt down or put someone in who can. So David Ross, you, my friend, had a terrible night.
I would agree that whether it's a fly out or the miss of the bunt, it's still poor execution. Now, in that spot, I'm probably having wisdom swing away. As I was watching the game on monitor 2 yesterday, I'm probably having swing away because he's your power guy. But if you want to play fundamental baseball and you want to move the runners up, wisdom has to be able to get that bunt down.
Has to
be able to do that. It's just, and again, in that spot, I'm not taking wisdom out for Madrigal, but Madrigal would get that bunt down.
No doubt about it.
Short guy that could be able to get the ball down.
He's the contact guy.
Absolutely. So you're not removing wisdom, but you've got to be able to execute some way, somehow in that situation. And it did not happen. What I was confused by is Smiley staying in the game so long.
Dude, he threw 93 pitches. 93. Well, let's have some consistency, David. Sunday, Tyone's a better pitcher.
Yes.
Okay, you're done. 63 pitch outing, you're done. You didn't have your best stuff. Okay, it's one start. You let this dude who sucked from pitch one, first inning, it's 3-0 Cubs on a Bellinger homer. 3-3 spits it right back.
Yep.
Come on now. We got to be better than that.
Yeah.
I was ticked. And then I watched the White Sox game. Yeah. The hood came. Your blood pressure to be going through the roof.
Yeah, I want you to hold my beer just for a second. Because if you think you had angst, be a White Sox fan and plop down in the hood cave, sit on the couch, all right, opening day. And all of a sudden, Michael Kopech allows 7 earned runs, 8 hits through 4 2/3. Home run after home run after home run. I'm saying my first inclination is he tipping his pitches or is he just this bad? Now, we already know that he's got good stuff. But again, if it has no movement, this is what it looks like. The Giants are not some juggernaut. It's almost like they were reading the mail of Kopech yesterday as I was watching that game. And of course, when you have the house that the White Sox had at Guaranteed Rate, that just makes everyone sour. It's opening day. People take the day off, standing in line, trying to be able to enjoy a ball game. They finally get into their seats, and they see that crap yesterday. Time after time, home run after home run. It became a joke after a while. At the first couple, you thought, okay, Cap, those are solo shots. The Sox have enough to be able to get back in the ball game. Nothing. Laid down for the Giants yesterday. That was so disappointing, especially this early in the season. I'm a White Sox fan watching this. And again, you're going to win and lose games, but the way they lost yesterday is horrible. Horrible. You split against Houston, so you take your hat off. Like, okay, you competed well against the champs. And then you take on the Giants, and then that happens. That is just horrible to watch yesterday, as many home runs that were surrendered by Kopech. To make me think, Cap, could we see a scenario in which we say Kopech, well, I mean, he's good, but what about the starter we saw yesterday, a day before yesterday, for the Sox?
That was Clevinger.
Makes me think Clevinger had a much better outing and was way more consistent than we saw from Kopech yesterday.
And Luis Robert made a catch over the fence again.
Yes.
Dude, that would have been the 8th home run that they hit.
Yeah.
If he doesn't make just a sensational play.
He's on his way to a gold glove.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's on his way.
Agreed.
You talk about star power. We talk about pillars a lot on this show. Robert's definitely one of those guys.
Oh, my goodness. I had angst from both baseball teams, especially my Cubs. Really bothered me. Poor managing, poor pitching, can't get a bunt down. Like, what are we doing here?
Then Shea and Jay Moore at the game yesterday to see the White Sox. So you finally got into the game, huh? They finally let you in?
This mobile ticketing stuff, and I don't know if it's the White Sox or if it's Major League Baseball or what, but it is an absolute disaster. You take the mobile ticket that you get off Ticketmaster or whatever app that Major League Baseball puts it through. You put it in your wallet, in your iPhone, so that if you can't get a connection, because God knows, when you get to any ballpark in this country, your cell phone connection goes through the window. Mm. Forget about it.
Yeah.
And you walk up with the ticket in your wallet, and they hold the reader to it,
yep.
And it doesn't work. And then they start going, and Jay Moore and I are standing there, we're showing the ticket, and she's going, you have to pull the one up with the barcode. Well, the point of putting it in the wallet was so that I could get it without the cell phone connection.
Yes.
It doesn't have the barcode in the wallet. You're telling me now I got to sit here and wait for my Ticketmaster website to load on my phone so that I can show you a stupid-ass barcode. What was the point of putting it in the wallet? The mobile ticketing, I got to tell you, physical tickets were way better.
And then the crazy thing about it is another gentleman came up and had the same device as the young lady, and he scanned our tickets. So maybe she was doing something wrong.
Brett and I went to the Bulls game on Sunday. Yeah. We had our tickets in my Apple wallet on the phone.
Yeah.
There was no barcode, and they were able to scan them.
See? Random.
It was a smooth process at the United Center.
That's the problem. If you're at another gate at the United Center, maybe the one you were at worked. If you're at another gate, the barcode reader's not working, or the no barcode reader's not working, the scanner, whatever they use for the wallet ticket, it's not working, so you have to get the barcode out. The inconsistency leads to what we see, people waiting 30 minutes to get into the ballpark.
See, you and your fancy Dan technology. Just give me the paper ticket and get out of there.
Do you know how much money they save not printing tickets?
You know why I don't care as a fan?
I don't care.
You're making money hand over fist, Major League Baseball, or the White Sox. I'll take the paper ticket. You know why? Not just because it's more convenient. It's because if I want to keep that ticket stub, I can keep it and put it in my album.
You're killing too many trees.
I don't care about the trees.
Wow!
I don't care about the trees, pal. I don't. I wake up in the morning like, the trees. There's one been saved today. I don't give a damn about that. I like the convenience. Here you go, pal. Ticket.
You know what?
It's right into the ballpark.
I have a question for Brooks Boyer, and he listens to the show every day. He's a very loyal, good dude. Brooks, if my friend Jonathan Hood, my friend Shane Orling, my friend Jay Moore, if they go to a White Sox game, just a random game on a Tuesday night, today's Tuesday, and while they're there, the guy throws a perfect game. They only have the mobile ticket. They're like, damn it, I wish I had a paper ticket to display. Is there like a process where they can go on the White Sox website and buy a ticket for $5 or whatever? Hey, here's a commemorative ticket with your seat on it that they can have, that they could then put in one of those Lucite things. I was at the perfect game.
Right.
Here's my ticket.
Right.
What are you going to do? Go, I got to show you. It's on my phone. No.
Yes.
So that's a question. Brooks Boyer, please text me.
You can't take that to Tom Morgan and say, how much is this worth? I don't know. It's on your phone.
Right.
Well, I mean, this is the ticket for the
your
perfect
iPhone's
game.
Your iPhone's got a crack in the screen. It's not worth a lot. No,
exactly.
Not the phone. The ticket.
Exactly, Cap. That's why it should be an option. There should be an option. Imagine if Jay Moore and Shea went to the game with paper tickets. All right. Thank you.
You know, right.
And right to the ballpark. But again, this fancy technology, you got to have it on a screen. You got to make sure the barcode, enough. Then you wonder why you got long lines up the ass trying to get into a ballpark, whether it's guaranteed or rate or anywhere else. That doesn't make sense to me. I like the idea of having the old school paper ticket trees. They'll grow some more. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776, our phone number. Yes, it's April, Cap, but again, you're going to win games and lose games, but you don't want to, from Ross's standpoint, give the game away. Or on the other side, as a Sox fan, watching Kopech just give it up time and time again to the Giants. Opening day, and that's what you come up with, 12-3? I'm sure there'll be better days ahead. Coming up next, will this NCAA tournament, the championship game, will this be memorable? We'll talk about the tournament yesterday. Coming up next, Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's Home for Sports.
It's the Captain J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad that you're with us. Don't forget, we've got Shout or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. In our next segment, an opportunity for you to be hooked up with a wonderful gift card. And it's, what is it, Shay, from Golf?
Golf Center Des Plaines.
Golf Center Des Plaines. So we got a chance for you to get hooked up there at 7:35. We'll tell you more about that as we get closer right here on ESPN 1000. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and I opened up talking about the White Sox and the Cubs games yesterday. If you watch, we love to get your thoughts on that. But also, last night, we got a national champion, Cap. It is UConn. It's amazing, this Huskies team. It's amazing that these championships are coming out of Storrs, Connecticut. Women basketball, men's basketball. The Huskies have now won 5 national championships in the past 24 years under 3 different coaches. Jim Calhoun, former Bull Kevin Ollie, and now Hurley getting the job done yesterday.
So watching that game, I was under no illusions, and I think you felt the same way. I know Shea did. I think Jay Moore did. Connecticut was not going to lose that game when we left work yesterday. I did see a scenario San Diego State was winning.
Yeah, I told you, UConn to win. I don't know if the over cashed.
It did.
Okay,
yeah,
so I think I told you, UConn to win, UConn money line, UConn over.
UConn money line, UConn to cover.
Yeah.
And the over.
And the over.
Yeah.
I told you that yesterday.
So you know me, I like to have action on anything.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't bet the game. The money line was -345, something like that. I wasn't going to bet that. I don't bet enough to make any money. Why am I going to risk that kind of investment? There's no payback.
You're not Mattress Mac.
So. No, I'm not.
I'm not.
So I didn't have that. And the line swelled up to 8.5. I'm like, if it's a lower scoring game. A lot of people were on the under. My brother texts me, game's going over. UConn's going to get a lead, and they're going to speed them up, and it's going to go over. I'm like, you're probably right. I'm just not going to play. I just enjoyed the game.
Mm-hmm.
And although it got to be out of control, the one thing, the action I did have, I said to my wife, she's like, this game stinks. It's a blowout. Let's go upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll put the TV on up there. Mm-hmm. I go upstairs. They're 15 up, 14 up.
Yeah.
She's asleep.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, hon, if they get it to 10, will you wake up and watch the rest of the game? No, they have to get it to 8. Bam, they get it to 5, and I made her wake up. She was not happy with me.
And then
that was the end of it. They blew it opening.
I thought this was going to be a sex-related
wager. I got nothing last night.
Nothing?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
Nope.
Came up empty. Yeah, that's
but
all right.
I did not stay up for one shining moment.
It's okay.
Did you see it?
Yeah, of course I did.
Was it good?
Yes, always is good.
Yeah.
I don't remember a bad one shining moment. It's Luther Vandross.
But my question is, there are sometimes they don't even show Luther. It's just the highlights with his voice singing. There are other times it starts with Luther like at the piano.
Yes.
Or you actually hear players like sound from the court.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to watch it today. I'm sure it's on YouTube. I'll find it.
Yeah.
So.
Jay Moore?
They have like 20 different versions of this. They got a Teddy Pendergrass version. They have it's like so many people saying this song. It's amazing. It is funny.
I'm fine with just Luther. They keep moving around. It's like some of these voices I don't know. But no, it was fine. Look. I knew that UConn, especially as of late, was going to be the strongest team in this tournament. Boy, they hit you in the face, man. They're just so strong, double-digit leads. We saw a lot of them. Hats off to Hurley. It's just a couple of things that stand out. Number one, you and Shea are two peas in the pod. You might go back and forth and bicker over sports. But boy, you guys have so many similarities. The idea that on the text chain, you're complaining that the game was out on at 8:20. And I wasn't sure, because I wasn't sure if Shea was coming in. I thought he was texting us from Detroit, mm-hmm. in which the game would be 9:20 Eastern.
Right, because he's going back, which I think, and I told Shea, I told you this, treasure that you're going to opening day in Detroit, because you're from there,
yeah.
with your dad. My dad's gone. My mom's gone. Treasure those moments. You never know what's around the next corner in our lives. Take pictures and go, wow, that was awesome. I was there with my father. I would love to be able to do that. So I think that's really cool you're getting to do that.
That's cool, but let me back to the topic. 9:20 Eastern has nothing to do with living in Chicago. Actually, we have the best time when it comes to sports for us here in the Midwest.
You're right. But,
I mean,
that is true.
There's nothing like, look, I've been to, and Cap knows, I've been to, with JD, at least 16 Final Fours. I haven't been lately, but that East Coast time sucks. To be able to sit there, you lumber in 9:15. And again, as a Central Time guy, it just makes me tired. Eastern time makes me tired when I go to a sporting event. It shouldn't have been at, but again, for 8 o'clock, the game was over, what, 10:35, 10:40? Luther Vandross, night-night, lights off.
But even 8:20 was getting a little long yesterday.
Okay.
A little bit.
This is why he's 28 going on 60. Don't take sports radio old people thoughts. If you're going to speak outside the demo with that, if you're Mad Dog Russo, that's fine. You're a young man. You're younger than everybody else here at the show. You can stay up until 10:35, 10:40 to watch One Shining Moment. Don't give the Chris Russo take of, it's too late, the kids can't watch, it's 9:20 at night, how will the kids be able to learn and love college basketball? Screw that. It's 8:15 when it starts. It's fine. Old man thoughts. No, don't be 28 and then give a take from someone who's 65 to 70 years old. I can't stay up. Also, are you also one of those broadcasters, Shade, that gives us the, you know, whatever that name of that arena is, and you can't keep up with the new sponsor name? Are you that guy, too?
Well.
Exactly.
No, I'm just.
He still calls it Staples, even though it's Crypto.com Arena, because he's 60 years old.
Well, also, because it should. Crypto.com Arena sucks, and Staples was an all-time name. That is Staples. I was at the Sox game yesterday, and I.
An office supply company.
Listen, I'm trying to explain myself. I was at the Sox game. I consumed some alcoholic beverages. I was a little tired last night.
All I'm telling you.
I'm a guy who wakes up at 3 a.m. to get to work. 8:20, you're getting a little long in the tooth.
I'm just telling you that as a young broadcaster, as a young producer broadcaster, you cannot have takes that are 40 years old. You're like he's 65 years old. I can't stay up because my Malto meal is getting cold. Stop!
By the way, how did Malto Meal not make our breakfast bracket?
See? That's why we need to do it again.
Exactly.
Hey!
Bad committee.
Could have been a play-in. So that's what I'm talking about, Cap. So, no, it was not late for me. I'm glad it was. We live in the... If it's not Central Time, then definitely West Coast time. 4 years so ahead of the game out there, right? 9:20, 8:27. So 6:20 start Pacific. So we watch the game. It's over, what, 9 o'clock? Cap, what do you want to do now? Yeah, let's go down to the casino. Let's go get some dinner. Because, I mean, Pacific time is amazing. Because you're like, well, what do I do with the rest of my night?
Right.
Right.
Like, if you're a Laker fan,
it's the best.
And you're watching the Bulls and the Lakers last Wednesday in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
7 o'clock, 7:05, ball of the air, 7:07. 9:50, like you just said.
Honey, yeah.
That was fun. Let's go out.
Yeah, you still got plenty of time.
Right.
If it's not our time zone, definitely out west. But if Eastern time, that's fine. You could complain if you are out east. If you're in New York, yeah, it is late. But Cap and I are old enough to remember when Monday Night Football would start at 9:05 Eastern.
Correct.
Holy bleep. You're not out of the building till 12:15, 12:30 in the morning?
Right.
I felt bad for them.
Yes.
But it was still late for us, too. But no, I had no problem with that. Absolutely not. If you're a Cubs or Sox fan, your team is playing out west, Cap and I, we've got this down. Cap, you're going to stay up and watch the Cubs? Yeah, I'll watch. Okay, I'll go to bed early. You just tell me about it in the morning.
Correct.
Hoodie, White Sox, A's. I'm going to go to bed early. Do you mind? Yeah, I got it. No problem. I'm going to do my recap in the morning. Late.
Right.
But you and I trade off, though, because we realize, yeah, it can't
we
be
did.
Late. 9 o'clock or 9:35 Central Time games? Tough.
The tough when we're trying to get up and do the morning show.
Yeah, but we go back and forth and we communicate on that. But this guy over your shoulder here complaining about the 8:20. Stop!
Right.
8:20 start.
Class of 74 over there.
So shout out to UConn because Shay asked the question. Shay asked the question. He's like, okay, so what do we consider this? Now, when you win a championship every decade, I don't consider that a dynasty. I say that's consistency.
Yeah, they're not a dynasty.
Every decade, they win.
Yeah, they've won five since 99.
Mm-hmm.
That's five titles in 24 years. That's Patriots level.
Is that a dynasty?
No. And they're not a blue blood.
That's ridiculous to me.
A blue blood is not established in 20 years. A blue blood is established in 50, 60, 70 years. They were nothing till Jim Calhoun got there. No, they're not a blue blood.
Can I offer you, I have qualifications for becoming a blue blood. and it includes all of the standard blue bloods, and it would now include UConn.
No.
I have a rule set that I think will fascinate.
Well, guess what? You don't make the rules.
He's got, but she's got his own rules.
Blue bloods are like UCLA, Kentucky.
Yes, it's UCLA, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina. Any argument?
That's it.
But he's trying to get UConn in there.
UConn does not belong there.
All of these teams.
Awesome program, but not a blue blood.
This is the rule set that I'll offer you. All of those schools have at least three national championships. Kansas has the fewest with three. They have at least six total appearances. If they don't have the appearances, they have four titles, because you can't exclude a school with four titles when Kansas is in with three.
UConn, the titles doesn't matter. Kansas UConn is where the freaking sport was born.
UConn now has five titles and five appearances. They're a blue blood. They're in the group.
They're not a blue blood.
Should UConn be a blue blood? Put down the poll as well at ESPN 1000 on Twitter.
Blue blood's 50 years of body of work. Mm-hmm. UConn, okay, how about first 40, 30, we're not good.
How about 40 years of nothing? Why is Indiana still in?
Ooh.
He shut you down.
Once you're a blue blood, you are a blue blood. That's it. You're in.
Well, let's talk more about this. Should UConn be a blue blood? 312-332-3776 is our telephone number. Also, your thoughts if you watch the Cubs and White Sox, especially for those of you that went to Guaranteed Rate on the South Side. What was that like? White Sox lose to the San Francisco Giants. We'll talk to you about that and more as we move forward here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Chicago White Sox lose to the San Francisco Giants by a score of 12-3, as heard right here on the Home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. The Reds, they defeat the Cubs yesterday by a score of 7-6. So the White Sox and Cubs both lose yesterday. Both starting pitchers, Michael Kopech and Drew Smyly, gave up 7 earned runs, with Kopech giving up 4 home runs in the 5th inning alone, while Smyly gave up the go-ahead 3-run homer in the 5th for the Cubs. The Sox are off today, back in action from the Rate tomorrow against the Giants, while the Cubs will play again in Cincinnati tonight at 5:40. The Bulls have a chance to pick up a game on the Hawks at the United Center tonight. A game tips off at 7 as the Bulls are a 4-point favorite. UConn head coach Dan Hurley won his first national championship last night, the university's 5th, with a blowout victory over San Diego State 76-59. The women's national championship game was the most watched women's college basketball game on record, with a 9.9 million average viewers and a peak viewership of over 12 million. That's a 104% increase over last year. Jay Moore.
Captain Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood. Weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and also streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, the same ESPN Chicago app in which you could find Peggy and Dion. As they always say, I don't know, we'll just figure it out. They're on every Saturday, and you can catch their show. Again, the podcast available on the ESPN Chicago
app.
Sounds
like our pre-show meeting. I don't know, just turn the mics on.
Oh, no, that's not that show at all. Absolutely not. That's not what we do. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We have our Masters giveaway as well, Shay. Let's explain that, because we're going to do this today and also tomorrow as well, as the Masters is right around the corner.
Yeah, so yesterday we gave out our first 7 golfers at random. Today we will give out another 7 golfers. The first 7 callers right now, 312-332-3776. You will be assigned a golfer. If your golfer wins the Masters, you will win a $100 gift card to Golf Center Des Plaines. The 21st caller, the final caller tomorrow, will be awarded the field.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So, again, call down 312-332-3776, and Shay's got a golfer ready for you on the other side. All right. Cap, just one quick thing as we go to the phone lines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, based on what we saw from UConn and what we've seen from this NCAA tournament, this was different because I believe that the portal makes a big difference in NCAA basketball now. I believe not just this tournament, but also future tournaments will look like this one. Where, yes, we're used to seeing the Dukes in the North Carolinas and the Kentuckys, what we consider, you and I consider blue bloods, because we've been watching college basketball for a long time. We're used to them being in that spotlight. like yesterday. We're not expecting to see San Diego State and the FAUs and Miamis and Connecticut's to always be there. But, Cap, can I just tell you, I believe that the portal will make a big difference here to the point where I think next year when we do our brackets, we have to take a look at it with a keen eye. It's not necessarily about what's in front of the uniform now. How many terrific players out of the portal can you get? Because now it's an arms race. Before, it was cultivating a program. Now it's transfers and a ton of transfers.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of guys want out of coaching college basketball. That's why Jay Wright is not going back to coach college basketball. He's like, no interest. It's professional sports now. That's what it is. You got guys leaving mid-major programs and going to the blue blood programs and getting $500,000 to transfer.
Yep.
You got, I mean, Georgia football? Those guys are making huge money. Mm. Alabama, Miami of Florida, they have some guy down there who just, he's a billionaire. That's what he wants to do. It's his pro team. He gave a football recruit $9 million over 4 years. $9 million. So,
it's ridiculous.
It's not college sports the way we know it.
Mm-hmm.
We still love it, but let's call it what it is. It's still, those are mercenaries coming in.
I love Brian Dutcher after the game, the coach for San Diego State, says, you know, programs like ours and FAU is proof that you don't need billions in the NIL to win. Well, excuse me? Actually, that helps. Like, he thinks that he just did it just on the people that he recruited. No, he had transfers to Dutcher to be able to put the San Diego State team together.
They just didn't have the money to go, hey, Jonathan, why don't you transfer over to us? Here's $1 million.
Probably not. I think they'll come in now. Now that they made it to the Final Four and to the national championship game, sure, the outside influences were like, okay, here's a little help. But just, okay, FAU is the perfect example. Boca Raton, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
3,000 people in that stadium.
Correct.
That's all it holds. Okay? And you have a coach here that thought that, oh, my God, my career's over. I'm coaching FAU. And now you are able to be in the spotlight. Now, you don't think that people around that area in Boca Raton will try to help that program now? I'm sure that they will.
I don't think at that level. I don't think you're going to get people. Look, okay. You and your wife are going to retire, you hope, in San Diego. You're going to be a season ticket holder of the Aztecs.
Yes. She'll have the sweatshirt with the collar on it.
Right. Exactly. Do you think that if your finances are in that position, that you're going to start buying players for the Aztecs program? No. You'll buy the best seats in the house. You'll go to the best restaurant before the game for dinner. You're not given that. Hey, here's a couple of million. Go get us a point guard. No chance.
You know, Cap, the way things are going, that might be a consideration. 312-332-ESPN.
Wow. Hope you're right.
332-3776 is our phone number. Larry from the South Side was the first one that called us this morning. Let's give him the floor on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, good morning, Cap and Jay Hood.
What's up, Larry?
Yeah, I've been following Cap for a long time, and I've been disagreeing with him on Twitter. So, but I had to give him credit this morning because he held David Ross accountable. But see, David Ross made not just the wisdom burning and leaving Snelly in too long. He also let Pinch hit Gomes instead of Magical with the bases loaded because Magical is more of a contact.
That's another one. You're right. The Yan Gomes at bat literally was a pathetic at bat.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, Ross was making some mistakes last year, too. So, I hope he can redeem himself. But I enjoyed listening to you guys' show. And good job, Cap, from holding David Ross accountable. I appreciate that. And I'll sit back and listen to the rest of the show.
Appreciate you, man.
Larry, thank you. As we go to Miami, Florida, listening on the ESPN Chicago app, here's Mike on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
So talking about Blue Bloods, I just can't believe that IU was mentioned as a Blue Blood. If you think about it, there's a whole generation of fans that have no idea what IU is or what IU was. I believe they've been to one Sweet 16 in 2016 since Mike Davis took him to the national title in 2002 and lost. So, yes, please swap out Indiana for UConn.
But a blue blood goes back 50, 60, 70 years. You don't change out blue blood status. They may have fallen on hard times in terms of championships. I don't disagree with you, Mike. But you can't, if somebody wins the next eight titles does not make them a blue blood. It makes them an upstart. It makes them an amazing program. You don't earn blue blood status because you're hot.
Yeah.
That's where I disagree with them. And I've been looking up. I pulled up 15 different things. I got all these windows open. And it talks about programs that have long-term tradition.
So UCLA's on there?
It lists there are six true blue bloods in college basketball. Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky, Indiana, and UCLA are the college teams most often associated with the term blue blood.
And all of this is from the Knight era, correct? Is that what makes them a blue blood?
Well, Branch McCracken. I mean, there were some coaches going way back that had success at Indiana. UCLA, John Wooden was winning in the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time ago. They haven't won a title. They don't lose their blue blood status.
I see. Yeah, because it goes back many, many, many
years. When was the last time UCLA won? I think it was before Mike Davis took Indiana to the championship game that he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they win with Jim Herrick?
Yes.
And Tyus Edney?
Yes.
That was in the 90s, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. I thought they were going to be close this year, as a matter of fact. I like Mick Cronin.
Good coach.
Yeah.
They have a good team. I picked them to go to the Elite Eight. They got knocked out. But, yeah, there's the blue blood status. You can have fallen in disrepair, but you're still a blue blood.
I guess the question, though, Cap, is can anyone else get into that room? You just laid out the blue blood room. Can anybody else get in there?
30 years from now? If Connecticut has a 50, 60, 70-year run, we're not going to be around. I guess you could maybe become a blue blood.
Mm-hmm.
But it's decades and decades.
Dominance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kentucky, they haven't won in a while. They're a blue blood.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. Should UConn be considered a blue blood now that they've won the national championship over San Diego State? Also, your thoughts on the Cubs and Sox as we keep it going here with you until 10 o'clock. It is Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Hoodie, I was driving to work this morning.
Yeah.
Like 5:10. No, I've got traffic issues. I'm going to have to navigate. I pull out of the driveway. I turn the corner. There's a coyote bigger than you.
Outstanding. He must have been handsome.
It was handsome.
Yep.
I'm like, whoa! That's a coyote. Well, I've got dogs. My dogs have some size, mm-hmm. some heft to them.
They're long and athletic, and they've got size.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Just check their mama's feet and hands, as Jerry Krause would say. And my next-door neighbor has a dog that literally is the size of my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Like tiny, little Chloe. I'm texting the neighbors at 5:10 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, do not let the dog out or make sure you're with them. Big ass coyote right around the corner here.
Mm-hmm.
So all the texts are coming back. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Dude, like, come on now.
Now, hang on a second. Just a sidebar. May I approach?
Yes. Brought to you by Aiken Law. 312-6 million for the great Howard Aiken.
Sound my ball. It's Aiken Law. How many numbers do you have of your neighbors? Like, how many, on your block, how many numbers do you have?
Three.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've got four.
Out of that block?
Yeah, and I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 houses. I have 4 of the 7.
No kidding.
Yeah, and the next, right next door, I had that one. That would be 5, but they moved.
The Tutus?
No, they're still there.
Okay.
The other side, John and Jamie, he retired. They moved to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a new young couple next door. I don't have their number. I don't even know their name.
Hmm. But you have enough for them to be able to text them, and they're up.
They're sleeping.
Oh, so they were sleeping, and you woke them.
Yeah, and I got all the texts back. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I'd be a little bitter. Like, if I'm trying to sleep in because you're up before the crack of dawn.
You'd be bitter.
Yeah.
And your little dog gets eaten for breakfast, and you're like, why wouldn't somebody let me know?
Well, first of all, I'd have my dog on a leash. I'm just not just going to just let him just roam.
They don't roam. You let them out in the backyard.
No, I'd have them in the leash. I'd watch them. That's what I would do. Just don't let them just roam free. Absolutely not.
Mine don't roam free. They're on an electric fence.
Yeah. Well, I'm just telling you that's how I would handle it. It's just this whole thing.
They don't go near the borders, hopefully.
That's all I'm telling you, Cap. I'm just surprised.
Would I get in trouble if I purchased a like a BB gun?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, coyote. You're looking at these dogs here. Bam!
Oh, for heaven's
Take that, coyote.
Oh, all right.
What possible purpose does a coyote in a residential neighborhood serve? I get it that he wants to be able to eat. He's hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Go find your own food.
Okay. You with a gun does not equate. I can't even see that. You with a pistol.
Yeah, I'm not a gun guy.
Yeah, I can't see you there with a gun.
Yeah, but my three dogs are in danger.
What are you going to do?
Beat that coyote's ass.
You're not going to do anything except call Aiken Law. That's all you're going to do. Howard, what can you do about this thing? Well, what is it, David? Well, there's a coyote in my backyard. Yeah? Well, can you do something? Sue him? Get him out of here?
Sue the coyote.
Seriously, what are you going to do? You're going to call Aiken? You're going to call Dr. Sitrenberg? You're not going to call anybody.
I'm going to get like a bow and arrow or something. A crossbow. Bam! Take that, coyote.
Yes.
You stay away from Yoshi, Sparky, and Stanley.
Yes, yes. The Kaplans are known for their bow and arrow. Yes. I'm going to kill this coyote. Didn't mean to hurt you. Sorry. I apologize, okay? Stop. You? Absolutely not. You wouldn't hurt a flea. You wouldn't.
No.
You and your bow and arrow.
But yeah. That coyote messes with my animals, my dogs.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Tell them to get. That's all you're going to do. Take that. That's all you're going to do is say, take that. You're not going to do anything. You'd be scared, too. Coming after you.
I would lay my life on the line for my dogs.
He smells like soda.
SodaWeightLoss.com, coyote. Look into it.
He's healthy. I'm going to eat him.
That's it.
They wouldn't care about the dogs. He'd come after you. 312-332-3776 our phone number. This guy with the bow and arrow. Yeah. Robin Cap. Don't think so.
There you go.
Will Met. Here is Richard on ESPN 1000. All right, Rich.
Morning, guys. Hey, before I give you my question, Hoodie, I just want to say, when you go apoplectic over something that Cap has said, I am laughing so hard. I have to wear Depends underwear in the mornings when I listen to your show.
Appreciate you.
Wanted to get to the portal thing. I had mixed opinions on it initially, but seeing what's evolved from it, take UConn. There's two or three young guys that transferred to the school from colleges that they felt they weren't getting enough playing time. And several of them, I think there's even one or two starters, were given an opportunity, and they've proven their worth. They've shined, they performed, and they are having had an awesome season with UConn. So mm-hmm. I think it gives these young men who are maybe not the highlights and the prime when schools are recruiting them, you give them an opportunity to perform, and I think it's fantastic. I also, you think about Izzo at Michigan State, he's whining because now he has to work harder to recruit students and players. So I just think the portal's ending up being good for some of these young guys to give them
an option. And what about if Richard in Wilmette was the head coach at Loyola, and he works hard to recruit a really good player, and the kid averages 24 points as a freshman? Everyone's like, wow, that's the best freshman we've seen. And Richard in Wilmette is sitting in his backyard thinking, boy, next year we're going to be really good. He what? He just got $1 million. He left to go to wherever. You would not be happy then with the portal. That's the argument. Like, you can just get bought and leave and play the next year.
It definitely makes it wide open, Cap. I believe it makes it wide open.
It does.
312-332-3776 Lockport. Here's Luke on ESPN 1000. All right, Lucas. Luke is not there. Instead of Aurora, Colorado.
Luke, you're better than that.
Listening on the ESPN Chicago app, here's Ken on ESPN 1000. Hey, Ken.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing this morning?
Great. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing good. Absolutely, UConn is a blue blood. My question is, what did Duke do before they won their championships with Coach K?
Dead program.
Were they a blue blood before that?
I know they were in the finals with Bill Foster. who then left and went to South Carolina.
And Northwestern.
And then he ended up at Northwestern.
Their first title was in 1991.
Correct. They were in the championship game against Kentucky with, what was that guy's name?
They were runner-ups in 64, 78, 86, and 90.
Yeah, 78 was with Bill Foster.
Mm-hmm.
But here's,
my question is the Blue Blood teams that only win the championships or are runners-up and Final Fours as well? Do you understand what I'm getting at? Are the Blue Bloods only the championships or runner-up as well?
I don't think it's all championships. It's historic tradition.
But it is a great point by Ken because we talk about longevity. Duke started in 91, and since 91, Duke and UConn have the same number of championships. How is UConn getting left out?
Duke and UConn have the same title since when? 91?
Since 91, when Duke won their first. They have the same number of titles. There's no way UConn gets left out. They're a blue blood.
All right. I don't think so. There are others that are with you, Shay, so we can agree to disagree. Absolutely.
It is a great point, though. If UConn and Duke have the same championship since the 90s.
Are they a top-tier program, UConn? Yes.
But here's the thing about that. Are you just counting, as we just mentioned, you counting championships or conference wins, you know, wins in the NCAA tournament leading into the championship? Because it's more than just the titles. Because we're just counting rings then.
It's popularity.
Popularity, too. And pop culture with Duke.
Yeah, and tradition. It's just all of it goes in for me. So is UConn, like if you have the top tier of current programs,
mm-hmm.
UConn's in that. Without a doubt. And Indiana's not. But if we're going by historic tradition over 50, 60, 70 years, no, UConn doesn't make the list.
One of the rare programs where the men's basketball and women's basketball are stellar at UConn. Shot or no shot. 2 minutes right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.